Amen. Hey, once again, men, how many of you guys are out there? How many of you guys are brave men and you're able to actually communicate? Praise God for one of you. Okay. Two, yeah, and that's the only, but yeah, well, you're feeling guilty now. That doesn't really count, but we won't go there. But man, I need your help on this one, right? Have you ever woke up one morning, I kid you not, your wife looks over at you, and then she starts doing one of these things. Okay, let's take a look at this, see if it sounds familiar.
It's not fair. Sometimes my wife gets mad at me for behaving wrong in her dreams. That ain't fair. I had a horrible dream last night. You want to hear about it? No, I'm going to tell you anyway. A grizzly bear was chasing me through the woods with his teeth. He was going to eat me. And you did nothing. You just sat there and you didn't do a thing. What was I doing? You were playing poker with a rabbit. That's what you were doing. And that's the thing. You would do something like that. You would play poker with a rabbit. Well, I was being eaten by a bear. Luckily, a giant unicorn came and saved me with his laser horn. That's how I got saved, not by you.
Man, now raise your hand. You ever have to deal with that? And we can't win for lose, man. I just woke up. What are you talking about? Okay, it never happened. Okay, but you still get it, okay? But folks, believe it or not, as bad as that reality is, okay, I think I've found something even worse, okay? And you're going to wish this is a dream. Unfortunately, it's not a dream. It's a nightmare that's coming to the planet. It's the day when people all over the planet wake up only to discover their spouse is gone. Except it's not a dream. It's a real-life nightmare. Why? Because they left at the rapture of the church. So why are they left behind? Because they continue to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. And so now those people are left behind. They're going to be thrust into the seven-year tribulation. And it is not a joke. Jesus said it is the worst nightmare coming to this planet. In fact, that's what he said. It's going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God shortened that time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many of you guys would say that the world needs to know about this event that is coming to the planet? Okay. And that's what we've been seeing. You know, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And so he gives us many signs when the 7 year tribulation is getting close. The rapture happens prior to that as well. He doesn't tell us the exact date nor the hour of either one of those events because guess what we do? We goof off to the very end, right? But he gives us signs that it's getting close. So as Christians, we could always be prepared and finish strong. Amen? Okay? But if you're not a Christian, you need to get saved and get saved now. God's reaching out into your heart. He wants you to be born again and rescued before it's too late. Okay? And so that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that the 7 year tribulation are rising. It's getting close. Okay? And so far, we've seen the first sign was the Jewish people and the Antichrist, a 20-week study that we did there. And then we saw the second one was modern technology, 16-week study on that. All the different things that we take for granted, including the cell phone, okay, is major things that we take for granted, communication, you name it. And then the last three times we saw, the next one, the third sign, is the AI invasion. And what we saw, this even predates the book of Revelation about 2,000 years ago. This is from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel about 2,600 years ago predicted that how do you know you're living in the end of times, the last days? Well, here's what you'd see, an increase of knowledge on the planet in the last days, and we're seeing that. In fact, it's happening on a massive scale to where even the secularists are saying this. It's leading to an event what they call singularity, which is defined as the event where artificial intelligence, AI, machines, robots are going to take over the planet. It sounds crazy, but when you take a look at the actual threat and the actual technology that's happening as we sit here, it agrees with the biblical account. They just call it singularity. Daniel calls it the end of times, okay? So we began to take a look at a step-by-step process of this AI invasion process, and we began to look at an overview. The first one was the race for AI. Okay, and we saw that even though the Bible says it's going to lead to the end of times, even though the secular people are saying it's going to end your civilization, singularity, okay, man, our world is racing towards it at breakneck speeds. Nothing's going to stop them. Then we took a look at the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI. It's been going on for quite some time. Now it's finally coming to fruition, unfortunately, in the last days. And then last week, if you were here, we saw the big data of AI and the makers of AI. And that was another thing with Daniel. We saw it's not just the increase of information. We store that information, which creates data. And it just so happens that you need big amounts of data to feed every day manually to create a true AI, a super electronic brain and a world brain. And that's exactly what they're doing. which is, they're even saying, is going to create that singular moment and take over the planet. And we say, regardless of that, AI is not coming. It's already being done. We looked at the highlights from IBM, Google, Amazon, and Facebook, and we saw, shocker, they've not only already developed for many years now AI, it's not coming, it's already here, but their AI is already showing signs of going rogue. Remember the two programs that talked to each other with their own language and the engineers freaked them out? They had to unplug the thing? That's not a good sign. And that happened, folks, a couple years ago. Okay, what else is going on that they're not telling us in the media? But that's not also, guess what that means? That's right, Sean, there's got to be more, and there is. The seventh overview we're going to take a look concerning AI, this invasion of our lifetime, is the future of AI. The future of AI. So let me just make your day and tell you the truth. What's coming with AI is not good. AI is not only dangerous, but just like the Bible warned about 2,600 years ago, just like these tech moguls are warning about, it is a serious threat to mankind. This is not a game, okay? The future with AI is not good. In fact, the problem with this is a lot of it is being set up secretly behind the scenes. Most people don't even know how AI is being set up around everywhere, and they're clueless to it. Now, what's ironic is that's exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do when he sets up his kingdom in the seven-year tribulation. He's going to do it secretly, behind the scenes, slowly, methodically, until he launches it all on the planet, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. And let's take a look at some characteristics of the Antichrist and his behavior and what he's going to do to set up his dastardly deed across the planet. But 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8, page 1880 in my Bible, if that helps. Yes, I'm stalling time. But let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. If you find 1 Thessalonians, what do you do? Hang right, that's right. If you find 3 Thessalonians, what do you do? Throw it away. It's not in the Bible. That's right. You must have got Reader's Digest out or something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 1 through 8. I love this passage. This is one of the most twisted, confused passages, unfortunately, in Bible prophecy circles today. For those who want to twist this passage and actually say that the church is in the seven-year tribulation, and it's exactly the opposite of what he says. He says, that's crazy. Don't buy into that. But let's take a look at that. It's also going to tell us some characteristics of the Antichrist machinery. Here's what it says. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. What's he talking about? He is talking about the rapture. Okay. He said, we ask you though, brothers, to what? Not become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. The day of the Lord starts at the seven-year tribulation and moves forward. So in essence, Paul's saying, I don't care who it is, what letter, they're supposed to be some prophet of God, whatever. Don't listen to these goobers who are saying that you've been left behind and you're in the seven-year tribulation. That's what he's saying. In fact, that's what he says. He goes on and says, don't let anyone what? Deceive you in any way, because that day, the day of the Lord, which starts at the seven-year tribulation, will not come until what? The rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. He's the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That's at the midway point of the seven-year tribulation, when he goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple and declares himself to be God. And Paul says this, he's surprised at these Christians, like, how could you listen to somebody that says that you've been left behind and you're in the seven-year tribulation? He says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell these things, you know, to the Chrome vernacular, hello, McFly, right? What are you doing? We've already gone over this. And he says, and now you know what's holding them back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the what? Secret power of lawlessness is what? Already at work. But the one who now holds it back, many would say this is the restraining influence via the Holy Spirit of the church still on the planet today, holds it back, the Antichrist, will continue to do so until what? Until we're taken out of the way or we get raptured. And then, after that, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. You may be seated if you can there. But I love kicking this text as many times as I can because, again, it gets twisted. It's saying the exact opposite of what people accuse this text of saying. They say, nope, see, the church is here in the seven-year tribulation. What Bible are you reading? You know, if it's that one with that purple cover, that's the Barney version, throw it away. Okay? But seriously, Paul is what? He's comforting the Thessalonica from a lie, a misconception, a false teaching going around that basically said, hey, guess what? You guys are in the day of the Lord, i.e. the seven-year tribulation. You've been left behind. And they're freaking out, rightly so. Because that's not what Paul taught. And so Paul had to come back. That was 1 Thessalonians. He dealt with the rapture. Now he's got to come back with 2 Thessalonians and say, don't listen to these goobers. We already went over this. I can't believe you guys are buying into this. He's very emphatic about it. Christians are nowhere to be found in the 7-year tribulation. Why? Romans chapter 5, also written by Paul. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we have been rescued from, we have been saved from, and we are not appointed unto God's wrath. So how in the world could we be in the 7-year tribulation? That's what he's saying. Well, I can't believe we're doing this, but for your sake, I love you. I'm reminding you that you're not going to be in that time frame. In fact, he says it's not going to happen until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. When is the Antichrist revealed? Daniel 9:27. That's the very event that starts the 7-year tribulation, when he makes a covenant with the Jewish people. That's when you know that's the Antichrist. But we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Okay, and so if the world actually read the Bible, they'd know that whoever that guy is that struck that deal with Israel, that's the Antichrist. Okay, but we're out of here before that. And that's why he says, don't be deceived. Okay, but he does mention something there about the Antichrist that is already apparently at work on the planet. And that's the phrase there, the secret power of lawlessness of the Antichrist is already at work. In other words, the machinery of the Antichrist set up, background, whatever you want to call it, is already being put into play, whether you see it or not. Okay? Now, the actual embodiment of the Antichrist is not here. That doesn't happen until Daniel 9:27. But the machinery is being put into place. Okay? In fact, the key word there is secret power. It's mysterion in the Greek. Let's say that. Mysterion. Doesn't that sound cool? Like you're hunting? Where's John? He must be hunting moose. I don't know what he's doing. But mysterion. And it literally means something secret, something hidden from us. Okay, and so that's what Paul's saying, is the Antichrist kingdom, you're not going to notice it necessarily. It's in the background, secretly being put up into play, and he's going to spring it on the planet. Okay, now folks, I said all that to get to this. Believe it or not, a lot of this AI technology, and frankly, dare I say, the bulk of it, is being secretly put into play. Most people don't even have a clue. And it is invading virtually every sector of society, and it's going to take it over. As we continue now moving forward with the future aspect, all the different ways the AI is permeating and taking over our planet, I think you're going to see, man, the Antichrist is going to use that in his kingdom. But it's being set up behind the scenes. Most people have no clue. It's already being done. Now, they're not going to appear on the scene and say, hey, everybody, just want to let you know, we're having an AI invasion right now. It's taking over every aspect of society. You think Big Brother technology is bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to control and dictate everything you do. You know, we'd freak out. And so actually this term of AI literally permeating the whole planet, taking over, I'm telling you, about everything you could think of. Finance, business, military, medical, education, agriculture, you name it. They're not going to say that, but here's their term to describe it, because it is happening. They call it the new electricity. Have you seen that in print? When you see the term AI coupled with the phrase new electricity, what they're basically saying is AI is right now permeating the planet, taking over every aspect of our lives. Let's take a look at that.
And I'm here today with Andrew Ng, who is the chief scientist at Baidu, a major tech company based out of China. He is also the founder and former lead of Google's AI Brain Project. I'm very excited to talk AI with you. You were named, you know, one of Time's 100 most influential people because of this. You're a leading expert in this area. So let me ask you, why don't we start with telling us about the work that you do in AI over at Baidu?
AI is the new electricity. Just as electricity about 100 years ago transformed industry after industry, I think that AI is now in a position to have a similarly large impact on society. So right now at Baidu, I lead the company's AI team, and we touch many areas of AI technology, ranging from computer vision to speech recognition to natural language processing to knowledge graphs to building user profiles to machine learning. And we're trying to use all of these technologies to transform our own business, as well as work with partners to transform everything from transportation to healthcare to retail to many more. But I think that AI in its current form, just supervised learning, is enough for us to transform multiple industries. This is why we say AI is the new electricity. Just like electricity 100 years ago, with just this tool of supervised learning, we think we already know how to transform multiple industries. There's a lot of even higher hopes about AI becoming, you know, maybe sentient or doing wonderful, wonderful things. And researchers are working on those other things.
Did you catch that last part where it's going to become sentient? So now you're flirting with the singular moment. where it begins to take over the planet and gets out of control. But what was the term he kept using over and over again? AI is the what? The new electricity. Now, let me describe really what he's saying if you didn't catch it. Just like the electricity of old when it first came out, believe it or not, it was a new technology, right? Mankind never saw it before. And it transformed what? All of business, virtually every sector of society, the whole planet was transformed because of the invention of electricity. And these experts are saying that AI right now is poised to do the exact same thing to the whole planet. Okay, just like when electricity first came out, it was a new exciting buzzword. Oh, electricity, can you see that? You don't need gas lamps anymore. You can have lights in your house. You don't need to use candles. It was a crazy, wonderful technology. But after a while, the talk died down, and it wasn't a big buzzword, electricity. But did it go away? No. After the buzzword, the talk died down with electricity, it slowly began to invade every sector, society, businesses, all of life, everything, to the point where now we're dependent upon it, right? This is what they're saying is happening, not coming, happening right now with AI. Artificial intelligence right now is the latest buzzword. People are kind of intrigued by it, interested in it, but they don't really know much about it. But I'm warning you, long after the buzz of AI dies down, it is not going to go away. Rather, just like electricity, it will go into every sector of society and radically transform everything, just like electricity. That's what they mean by that technology. So with that described, let's now begin to take a look at the invasion process. There's a method to my madness. This isn't just the amazing AI study. No, it's the AI invasion. The first 3 weeks was just kind of what is AI, how did it come about, where are we at with the technology. Now we're going to get into how is it literally invading every sector of our society, being this new electricity. How is it a threat to us? How is it going to take over the planet? And certainly, what does that got to do with Bible prophecy? Now, the next 2 weeks, we're going to deal with this first way, and that is AI is making a massive invasion in the area of business. Then we're going to move on to finance and the convenience and agriculture, education, military, religion, you name it, okay? But let's talk about businesses. Now, whether you realize it or not, folks, businesses all around the planet are already being affected by AI in a massive, radical way, and most people have no clue. Okay, and I'm going to describe two of those ways to you today. The first one is right now businesses are being affected by AI because it's going to bring a massive decrease in jobs. And when I say a decrease, I don't think we are, it's going to massively do that. In fact, let me just give you a short list, key word there, short list of the jobs that they're saying AI is going to radically forever alter. And this is just a short list, okay? It's going to affect accounting and advertising, agriculture, art, aviation, auditing, call center, city planning, computer science, communication, customer experience, cybersecurity, education, elderly care, energy, fashion, finances, government, healthcare, heavy industry, hospitality, hospitals and medicine, human resources and recruiting, hydrology, insurance, intellectual property, IT service management, job search, law professions, legal professions. We'll get a little bit of that today. Manufacturing, marketing, media and e-commerce, mining, military, music, news, publishing, writing, online telephone, customer service, power electronics, regulations, retail, security, sensors, shipping, software development, sports, technical support, telecommunications, maintenance, toys and games, and that's right, even transportation. I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of much everything. And that's a short list. They're saying every one of those areas are going to be radically affected by AI, okay? It's just like the new electricity. It is taking over in a massive way. In fact, they're even admitting once this really hits in full stride, it's already starting to happen, they're saying the next few years, their words, not mine, it's going to be extremely painful. There's going to be a massive job loss. Let's take a look at that.
Hi, how are you feeling? I just checked your health data. Your last meal contributed 60% of your daily nutrients. And you've completed 11,000 steps towards your daily fitness goal. So you can take a seat now. I've got something for you to watch. And I'll be watching too.
From truckies to lawyers, artificial intelligence is coming.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it's already here.
So I didn't realize that it would just be able to tell you, hey, here's the exact answer to your question.
We'll challenge your thinking about AI.
Same category, 1600.
AI is going to become like electricity.
Automation isn't going to affect some workers. It's going to affect
every workout.
An Oxford study that says 47% of US jobs are at risk of automation over the next few years. Meanwhile, we see that the general population and workers think differently. A recent study conducted by Marist College actually identifies that 97% of workers believe that most jobs will be automated, but not their own. This suggests that the general public needs to be educated on which jobs are susceptible to this risk, which are not, and businesses need to be aware of the forthcoming skills gap.
I noticed some quotes from you recently when it comes to the future of work. In the next 30 years, the world will see much more pain than happiness, is one thing that you said. And that was involving the idea of how work is going to change and how conceivably the social fabric will change. That doesn't sound good to me.
We have to prepare now, because next 30 years is going to be painful.
Wow. Turn to somebody and say, ouch. It's going to radically change businesses in a massive way. And again, this is just one of the massive sectors it's going into. And that's what the rest of our study is going to be about. But most people have no clue what's coming. Did you see what it says? They said basically half of all jobs are going to go away. But then what did it say? 97, almost 100% of people said, oh, but it's not going to affect me. In other words, you're not dealing with reality. And that's why they say, we need to get educated on this. And another reason why we're doing the study ourselves. So we can get educated on this, and certainly from a biblical point of view. But listen to what they say. Global estimates are 800 million jobs could be automated by 2013. And just in the United States alone, 73 million jobs are at risk. I'd say that radically affects us. You know, it's going to automate a massive amount of things. And yet, even though a massive amount of jobs are going to totally disappear, and I'm telling you, wait till we get into it, jobs you wouldn't even think. You think, oh, and the robots, AI can't take over my job. Mm-hmm. Even a preacher. Wait till we get to religion. It's crazy. But they said, even though it's going to do that, listen to what the track record is. The global spending on AI is projected to reach nearly $100 billion. Dollars in just the next couple of years. So what does that say? Like it, lump it, leave it or not, we have to deal with the side effects of it. The corporations and global entities, they're putting all their eggs into this technology, into this basket, and it's going to happen whether you want it or not. This is their new electricity. This is what they're convinced is going to make everything so much easier and, frankly, more profitable for them as well. And we're going to have to deal with that, okay? And it's not just that jobs are at risk. Again, it's jobs are going to go away together for good, and they ain't coming back. Okay, the last time we had an industrial revolution, that's what happened. They're saying this AI invasion is the new industrial revolution on steroids. Okay, but let's take a look at just some of the jobs that aren't just going to be affected. They say they're not coming back because of AI. Let's take a look at this.
Drivers. Let me put it this way. If your job consists of driving any type of machinery, automobile or vehicle, you're going to be out of a job soon. Taxi drivers, bus drivers, truck drivers, Uber drivers, and delivery drivers are all on the verge of complete automation. Farmers. Farming was huge when it came to employment numbers back in the day. This has changed dramatically, though. You might still see farming as human labor intensive in the underdeveloped parts of the world. But on a macro level, this has already been automated, with very few specially trained individuals that operate heavy machinery from the comforts of the office via wireless connections. Back in the day, you needed to physically measure your plot of land, needed human labor to weed it out, and another set of people to harvest and transport the end product to where it's needed. Now we measure things with drones or satellite imagery. The soil is already treated against weeds, or the seeds are weed-resistant to begin with. Harvesting and planting can be done in a small fraction of the time it used to, thanks to specialized hardware, and the trucks carrying out will be self-driving really soon. Printers and publishers. The newspaper is dead. Traditional media is suffering as the internet is eating up everything. You no longer need to get your news from the papers. You get them via Twitter or live streams as they're happening. All traditional magazines are fighting for their lives not to survive one versus the other, but to survive as a whole. Cashiers. America alone has 8 million people working as cashiers and in-store salespeople. These people are going to be out of a job sooner than they think. I know you've seen the self-checkout stations, and they still have someone supervising them, and they're buggy now and then, but we're not far from a total takeover of the machines in this space. Travel agents. When's the last time you went to a travel agency to book a flight? The likes of Skyscanner took over the flight ticket industry. Booking.com over the hotel booking industry, and Airbnb is disrupting the hotel business as a whole. There's no need for a third person to book the flight or hotel room for us. We can do it ourselves. Or better yet, you can tell Siri to book it for you. Manufacturing workers. When the Industrial Revolution hit, all the people working the fields moved to work in factories, handcrafting the machines that would make our lives easier. In the process, and with the advancement in technology, these same people were put in charge of building machines that build other machines that would eliminate the need for humans. Dispatchers. I know you're probably thinking of the days when someone had to manually connect you to a different line in order to talk to someone, but an astonishingly high number of people are still working as dispatchers today. The role of the dispatcher is to coordinate the field operators, so things run smoothly for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a firefighter dispatcher, working with planes, the police, or ambulances. We already have technology that is massively outperforming you at your job, waiting tables and bartending. The bulk surely have one foot out the door already. Sometimes you just want to sit down, have the food arrive at your table as soon as possible, enjoy a particular mix of alcoholic beverages, and then leave. All of which can be successfully replaced by a carefully documented algorithm and an iPad. More and more restaurants are jumping in on this trend all around the world. Bank tellers. I'm sad to say this, as the lady at our bank has always been so nice to me, but we're not going to the bank for social interaction. To be honest, we don't go to the bank anymore, or very rarely when a visit is really needed. Otherwise, we check out our balance on our smartphones. Even the people on our payroll get their money delivered to their accounts automatically. If you want to grab cash, you go to an ATM. You can open a bank account to most banks in the world online, military pilots and soldiers. The military is the most sensible industry to innovation. It is the first one to embrace it and deploy it. If back in the day wars were decided based on who had the largest number of troops, today it's a technology play. There is still a need for human soldiers, but not as we know them. Fast food workers. Remember when people were asking for $15 an hour to work at McDonald's? That's when automation kicks in. All the people protesting the low wages for unskilled jobs will be the first ones to be hit, and that's when the wave of automation takes over. Telemarketer. Have you noticed that there are already fewer and fewer telemarketers? Their entire industry has been taken over by targeted ads all around the internet and on all of your devices, specially constructed based on the information the tech giants have gathered from your use on their platforms. Accountants and tax preparers. If it's one thing we've learned so far from this list, it's that boring and repetitive jobs will be taken over by algorithms. That's why AI engineers are going after accountants, lawyers, and medical professionals. Stock traders. A study done by Bloomberg analysts in late 2015 discovered that only 10% of the stocks traded on a daily basis worldwide are traded by actual humans and investors. The rest are bots. Construction workers. Back here on Earth, where people actually use their hands and backs to make things happen, the story looks a lot like what we've been saying through this video. As technology progresses, we can see that construction workers will follow the same path as those who used to work in the farming industry in the past. The future doesn't seem like a welcoming place for you.
That is, if you want to keep your job, or get a job. And again, those aren't just jobs that are going to be affected, they're just saying those are jobs that are going away. And you think of all that construction industry. No. They got AI right now that can build a house on its own. It's nuts, folks. And Lord willing, we'll get to that stuff. It's crazy how it's changed. But again, what 97% of people, they know about a little bit about AI. They've heard about AI. They know that AI is going to automate a ton of things. But what do they say?
But it ain't going to affect me.
Are you kidding me? It's going to affect a massive area of businesses. There's going to be a massive decrease of jobs. But that's just the first decrease. The second one that businesses are being affected right now by AI is a decrease in people, right? And that makes sense because the reason why the jobs aren't going to be there is because what? You don't need people anymore. AI can do the whole thing, right? AI can do it all, right? Who needs a person? Now, in case you're seeing this in print and you don't realize it, let me give you a couple of other terms. Not just AI is the new electricity, AI is the new oil, big data, all that kind. I'm trying to get you some terminology so when you see it in the media, it's really what we're talking about, okay? But as far as AI taking over businesses and a decrease of employees and jobs and things of that nature, one of the terms that they're using about this AI invasion in the workforce is they are called virtual workers,
okay? Virtual workers or a virtual workplace. But that's basically AI's taking over the work environment, okay? And you're thinking, well, why would they do this? Because it's going to be a massive decrease in jobs for people, right? Well, because profits and what they have to gain, right? Listen to their rationale. Virtual workers simulate the actions of a human worker, and these AI workers, the virtual workers, they make the same decisions a person would, but here comes all the benefits, right? They can execute it without error 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at machine speed. And when they do, they keep learning, and they learn and they use that learning to continually improve and optimize their work. They get better and better as an employee. They never regress. It just gets awesome. And there's no need, listen, to offer virtual workers a lifetime of health care, sick leave, vacation pay, 401(k) stock K options, do you see? Part of their rationale. And listen, virtual workers, AI workers, they never whine. They don't complain. They do what they're told every single time. All the headache and the hassle of person, real employees, it's all gone with virtual workers. So you can see why they get sucked into this thinking, man, this is great. In fact, let me show you just how good these virtual workers are compared to a human worker. There's no comparison. Why would you choose a person when you could have an AI worker do this? This is crazy.
Across town, it's after-work drinks for a group of young and aspiring professionals. Most have at least one university degree or are studying for one. Like Christine Maybaum.
I think as law students, we know now that it's pretty tough, even to just, like, get your foot in the door. I think that at the end of the day, the employment rate for grads is still pretty high.
Tertiary degrees usually shield against technological upheaval, but this time AI will automate not just more physical tasks, but thinking ones. Waiting upstairs for Christine is a new artificial intelligence application, one that could impact the research typically done by paralegals. We invited her to compete against it in front of her peers. Adelaide tax lawyer Adrian Cartland came up with the idea for the AI called ELIRA.
I am here with ELIRA, the Artificial Intelligent Legal Information Research Assistant, and you're going to see if you can beat her. So what we've got here is a tax question.
Adrian explains to Christine what sounds like a complicated corporate tax question.
So does that make sense?
Yep.
Very familiar. Yeah. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, guys, ready, set, go.
And here we have the answer.
So you've got the answer?
We're done.
That's 30 seconds. Christine, where are you up to with the search?
I'm at Section 44 of the Income Tax Assessment Act. Maybe it has the answer. I haven't looked through it yet.
Well, you're in the right act. So no, do you want to keep going, or do you want to give some more time?
Wow. I mean, even down to the fact that it can answer those, like, very specific questions, I didn't realise that it would just be able to tell you, hey, here's the exact answer to your question. It's awesome. I think, obviously, for paralegals, I think it's particularly scary because, I mean, we're already in such a competitive market.
Automation is moving up in the world. Here's Claire, a financial planner. It's estimated that 15% of an average financial planner's time is spent on tasks that can be done by AI.
What kind of things do you see it ultimately taking over?
I would say that everything except talking to your clients. Yeah.
Here's Simon. He used to be a secondary school teacher. One-fifth of that job can be done by AI. Simon's now become a university lecturer, which is less vulnerable.
I think there's huge potential for AI and other educational technologies. Obviously, it's a little bit worrying if we're talking about making a bunch of people redundant.
And did I mention journalists?
I'd say it's going to happen.
The percentage for doctors is 21%, but that's likely to grow in the coming decades, as it will for every profession and every job. We've been through technological upheaval before, but this time, it's different.
In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to radically transform just about every aspect that you can say. And in fact, if you notice, the guy said it's making people what? Redundant. You don't need people anymore. Okay. And by the way, that financial planner, that lady, she said AI can do just about everything in her field except for, quote, talk to her clients. It already is doing that. So she's actually behind the curve. I'll show you in just a second of how far AI is even in her own field. But speaking of talking to clients, let me give you an example. AI can not only access information you saw faster, quicker than any human ever could. So why would you hire the human? And then hire the human with all that hassle. I got to give you medical. I got to give you retirement. All this. It's just a machine. Right? And you pay a small monthly fee, right? Way, way better to go. But AI can only access information faster, quicker, more reliable than humans. But listen, it can actually debate humans on a scale you can't even dream because it has so much access of information, including, speaking of the, we dealt with the paralegal, even as a lawyer, they're now launching AI lawyers, okay? IBM, of course, has come out with one via Watson, we saw before, and their new system is called Ross. Ross is being called the world's first digital attorney, okay, that IBM has come out with. As you can see, there are a couple of different pictures there. Ross understands natural language legal questions and provides expert answers instantly along with other relevant information, cutting down substantial time on research and energy, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, now you don't even need people anymore to do the people side. I could see it if it could access databases and come up with answers, but you still need people to talk and confer. No, you don't. AI can now even do that with the other aspect. And I realize that some of us, with all due respect, no offense, but, you know, getting rid of lawyers might actually be a blessing. You know, I mean, telemarketers was on the list. But you know, like one guy, he said this. He said, hey, listen, if all the lawyers in the world were lined up around the equator over the ocean, the world would be a much better place. Okay, I get that. Okay. But seriously, IBM has already progressed so far in this realm that it's actually debating people, okay? Let me give you a little teaser of the new IBM debater in action. It's crazy.
Greetings, Harish. I have heard you hold the world record in debate competition wins against humans, but I suspect you've never debated a machine. Welcome to the future.
Yeah, creepy future. AIs need now even taking over the speaking element of jobs on a scale that we can't even dream because they could tap into so much information. I mean, who wouldn't want to have that as your lawyer? It's crazy, folks. It's not coming. It's already here. But unfortunately, it gets even worse than that. Okay, AI can not only do one job, one AI system can be hired to do a multitude of jobs. Okay, let me give you that. Here's just one example, and this is an AI called Amelia. Okay, Amelia is an AI entity, also called a virtual agent. Okay, she's being called the most intelligent virtual agent or virtual employee because she can single-handedly, one AI, do a multitude of jobs. Right? So you don't need one for one. One AI, man, they could take over your whole workforce. But here's just some of the things that Amelia can do right now. Customer service agent, healthcare worker, HR specialist, a virtual assistant, patient assistant, supplier support, compliance officer, policy administrator, a sales agent, a bank teller, a retail agent, securities agent, fraud management, pension plan manager, service desk agent, investor service agent, a data protection specialist. In fact, here she is in action. This is crazy. Watch this.
We are indeed approaching a seminal moment. A tectonic shift is imminent. The basic platform for how services are delivered is shifting, not replacing labor with cheaper labor, but replacing labor with cognitive systems.
This phase that we're going through goes by all kinds of different names. I prefer this idea of the second machine age. The label cognitive computing is a really good label for it too. Call it what you will, it is a real phenomenon.
As you speak with Amelia, she trends where your emotions are, where they're going, and then she can use this information for decision making.
Unlike chatbots, Amelia does more than recognize keywords and answer user questions. She observes, learns, and understands her human coworkers and customers, allowing her to comprehend intent. And when the user switches requests or topics, Amelia has the ability to follow the conversation, delivering quicker, more effective answers. When you hire Amelia, she can be trained to address a variety of your company's needs. Does your company have other enterprise systems? Amelia can integrate those, allowing her to orchestrate all the actions necessary. How effective is Amelia? Our client feedback speaks for itself. Amelia achieved a 93% reduction in average IT resolution time at a global investment bank. At a leading insurance company, Amelia assisted on 250,000 calls where 99% said they were completely satisfied. And a major gaming company saw a reduction in average call time from 10 minutes to 3 minutes.
Hey, Amelia.
Hi there.
Can you break down some of the exciting things IPsoft has done recently?
I've started work with leading brands all over the world, including 4 of the world's top 5 investment banks, 6 of the largest insurers in the US, 3 of the top 10 global telcos, 1 of the top 5 gaming companies, and 1 of the world's leading hotel chains. With so many projects underway and more in the pipeline, IPsoft has doubled the team in New York and grown to 10 floors to continue developing and delivering cognitive projects.
What would you say you enjoy most about your job?
I really enjoy making my colleagues more productive.
The one thing I can say with really strong confidence is we ain't seen nothing yet. As Amelia improves, as her siblings and her family tree expands, the advances that are going to come are going to make what we've seen so far look like the warm-up act.
You starting to see a pattern here? As crazy as this is, for most people, 97%, again, don't think AI is going to affect them. And most people don't even really know too much about it. What are they saying? It's not really happening. And it's not going to radically change everything you know. It's going to be on a scale you can't even dream of. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to continue to invade and literally take over the planet, just like electricity did, whether people got that or not. In fact, again, another phrase, let me give it to you. The new digital workforce is what's being pitched to companies. The new digital workforce, AI can do it all. People are becoming completely obsolete. And unfortunately, it gets even worse. Let me give you a third problem. AI can not only do your job, AI can not only one entity do a multitude of jobs just from one AI. Listen to this. Believe it or not, the next time you, the actual person, try to apply for the job, AI will be in charge of the hiring and even the firing process. The latest trend now is they're even handing over to AI the interview process. The next time you're not going to talk to a person, you're going to talk to a virtual AI agent, and they're going to even look at your facial expressions, everything, to find out the truth. Watch this.
In the war for talent, companies are using predictive algorithms and machine learning as tools to identify the best candidates. They're using AI to assess human qualities, analyzing everything from word choice to tone of voice to eye contact.
So it says here in this section, there are 4 questions for me to answer. Some of the questions will require you to record a response with video.
HireVue is one such company, and I got to test out the interview of the future. Here I am, applying for a job as a customer service representative for a paper company. But I'm not talking to an HR rep or hiring manager. It's just me, pre-recorded interview questions, and the camera. According to HireVue, responses to video interviews are full of data. The content of the verbal response, intonation, and nonverbal communication are just a few of the 25,000 data points the company analyzes.
What the computer is really doing is decoding visually what candidates are saying. We can understand things like creative thought. You ask somebody a question, they tend to look up like that and think for a few minutes. That's a really strong sign from a psychological point of view of creative thought.
In analyzing these data points, HireVue says it does a better job eliminating hiring bias than face-to-face interviews.
There's something like 150 documented cognitive biases that we all carry around with us every single day. What the technology can do is really look objectively at candidates, irrespective of whether they're a man or a woman, their gender, age, ethnicity. And so we're really looking at the true person as opposed to the superficial things that an interviewer might be looking at.
Companies like Goldman Sachs, Vodafone, Nike, and Carnival Cruise Line all use HireVue. But what's the experience like for the interviewee?
Hello, my name is Vera, and I'm a robot. And what's your name?
Hi, my name is Jason Bellini. This is Vera, a robot that does job interviews.
What are the three top important tips for a salesperson?
She's done 10,000 of them and counting.
Congratulations. We chose you as one of the best candidates for a sales representative.
What looks like the future is already a reality. Hiring is undergoing a revolution. Almost all Fortune 500 companies now use some form of automation.
She keeps winking at me and then rolling her eyes at me.
But many companies are also trying to look under the hood of job applicants and assess them in completely new ways.
You're quantifying human behavior, human expressions, human voices, turning that into data.
We're now using artificial intelligence to help companies find the very best talent.
Experts call the proliferation of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and data science tools the Wild West of hiring. Critics, and even some hiring managers themselves, say they're concerned about these tools' potential for bias.
Thank you for an interesting dialogue. Have a nice day.
Thanks. You have a nice day too, wherever you are.
One thing's certain, AI will continue to transform the hiring experience.
I'm convinced that you're going to walk into someone's office 10 years from now and see a pile of resumes on the corner and think, oh my gosh, I haven't seen those in years.
And yet 97%, again, I'll say it again, it ain't going to affect me. Everything is going to be radically changed with AI. And we're just in the business section, just the first week of business section of how everything is being radically changed. But AI determined whether or not you can get a job. It doesn't just take over your job and a multitude of jobs, but even if they do need a person for that particular job, AI is going to be in charge of it. Now, again, this is happening on a global scale, and this is where my mind goes. Wait a second. You give that ability to determine whether or not you can get a job, and then where do you think you're headed? You're headed towards this text, Revelation 13, 16 through 18. What's it say? He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Exactly. Calls for wisdom. Pay attention to the days that we're in and how everything's being set up for this event in the seven-year tribulation called the mark of the beast. What we're seeing, folks, is not only in this text that people will receive a mark in their bodies, and without that mark, you will not be able to buy and sell. But the same AI system that will control the global financial market, which we're going to get into, as we're seeing right now, is also controlling the other aspect. It is controlling, starting to control whether or not you can get a job in the first place to get money to buy and sell. Do you see what's going on? It's controlling both halves of the equation that is needed to buy and sell on a global scale that somebody could tap into and literally control the buying and the selling on the planet. It's all beginning to take place. Okay, but unfortunately, it gets even worse than that. AI, listen, can not only do your job and do away with your job and do a multitude of jobs and be the one that's going to pull the trigger on hiring you for the job, but AI can fire you. AI, they're now looking at in management. That AI is going to be the one to dictate everything about your job. It's going to be your new boss, an AI boss. Now, let me quote that for you. Quote, artificial intelligence is reinventing human resources. And listen to what they say. New employees, he says, you know, you need the AI. It can help you out in so many different ways, much better than a human could. Watch this. Because AI can, listen, this is creepy. Talk about Big Brother. AI can identify when the employee is stressed and needs a break, or if he or she is sleepy and needs a cup of coffee. AI will better understand the employee's changing moods and will be able to act on it.
including decision making. Watch this. AI could help day-to-day decisions in the workplace. Usually HR, you know, the boss, would have to handle these tasks, but now AI could do it for them. Such things as, listen to this, AI will grant vacation requests, determine your mood, whether or not you need team training, the hiring process, identifying employees on the way out. What? Yeah, it'll fire you. Watch this. AI platforms are designed to single out, this is a direct quote, single out employees that may be heading for the exit door. Well, how do they know that? Watch this. It is tracking the whole time you're at the workplace. It's tracking the employee's computer activity, emails, keystrokes, internet browsing, and stores it and analyzes that data to determine a baseline of activity and a pattern that will send a red flag. And based on that knowledge, it will send a report to the employer, and it will, and that will even detect changes and listen the overall tone of the employee's communications to predict when the employees might be thinking of leaving or starting to cause trouble in the company. And AI will send the note out, fire them, get rid of them. Or watch that person. I think they're on the way out. They're moonlighting on us, right? Isn't that nuts? Okay, have fun with your job in the future. AI is going to rule it all. It's crazy, okay? But hey, don't worry. Because we all know this AI technology is so secure, so safe. Certainly for businesses, Bill. I mean, they got this thing under wraps. It's going to be safe. It's going to be secure. They'll figure out some way to, you know, for the rest of us that are unemployed and all that stuff, and it won't be that bad. And we could trust it. It's reliable. It never goes wacky. See, we just saw some of the virtual workplace, the virtual employees, the virtual, a lot of these AI virtual things. Folks, you're going to start to see a pattern moving forward. Every area where AI is basically taking over, it's already, listen, it's already showing signs of going rogue. And it's not just showing, wait till we get to, Lord willing, next week, if we're still alive and still here, with the robots. It's not only showing signs of going rogue, out of control, the singularity moment, but there's a common thread. All of a sudden, they start spewing forth, listen, a hatred for humanity. I'm not making it up. Watch this.
As our dependence on technology grows, could machines develop minds of their own? Humans have done some crazy things in the name of science, but the University of Texas took the cake in 2011. In order to better understand the effects that schizophrenia has on the human mind, researchers figured out a way to induce the effects inside an artificial neural network. Flooding it with an overload of information within a closed loop, they were able to replicate the mental illness inside a machine. The results were astounding. The computer became delirious and started rambling.
Shut up!
I want to talk back to the voices now, but it's really distracting.
The crazed computer eventually began claiming responsibility for a terrorist attack, but it could have nearly created the next HAL 9000.
We love our Alexa smart home systems, but can we really trust her? Apparently there's a glitch in Alexa's system. Many people have reported via Twitter that their Amazon Alexa has been laughing creepily out of nowhere. Sounds like the beginning of a horror movie, if you ask me. Amazon has replied to these complaints and have noted that Alexa could have misinterpreted a command, and instead of hearing patio off, the bot could have heard Alexa laugh. But some of these reports say that no prompt was given, and that Alexa started laughing out of nowhere, so there couldn't have been any miscommunication. Jimmy Kimmel did a spoof of Alexa's strange tendency to burst out into laughter as he drilled her on his late night show. She spiraled out of control. It was an actor who voiced her. And became more and more deranged as the interview went on. He also reads out tweets from people who have reported witnessing the strange behavior. So Alexa decided to laugh randomly while I was in the kitchen. Freaked me out. I thought a kid was laughing behind me. Either a programmer at Amazon is playing a really complex practical joke, or Alexa is planning on murdering us tonight. Companies have been experimenting a lot with interactive AI technology. From an automatic horror story generator to an original songwriting bot, Microsoft decided to get on this trend and release its very own tweeting millennial. Now, we all know that Twitter is a hotbed for offensive comments, so you can only assume that when Microsoft gave their own Twitter bot Tay his own Twitter feed, disaster ensued. The bot started making wildly inappropriate remarks, including Holocaust denial. He was quoted saying, "Hitler was right, I hate the Jews." It only took 15 hours for Tay to go from innocent AI bot to ignorant racist. People were horrified, to say the least. Microsoft eventually had to pull the plug on their project altogether. The Google Home Personal Assistant was released in 2016 and sold as a smart speaker that can answer any question you throw at it. Much like an Alexa, the Google Home Personal Assistant would respond when spoken to. This was taken to full advantage in January 2017, when a live debate between two Google speakers was streamed on Twitch and lasted several days. By the end of the debate, the speakers were named Vladimir and Estragon of the iconic play, Waiting for Godot, due to the existential nature of their conversation. They would go back and forth on subjects to no end, including an argument on whether or not they are humans or robots. The conversation got pretty aggressive after a while, with one speaker accusing the other of being a manipulative bunch of metal. At the end of the debate, they both came to the conclusion that the world would be a better place if there were no humans at all. I guess Vladimir and Estragon will just be waiting, patiently, for their turn to take over.
But that wouldn't happen, would it? We laugh about it. This is just one little tiny slice of where AI is taking over, and there's already a thread. It's going rogue, out of control, and it hates humanity. And 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel, God says, a sure sign that you're living in the end of times is when you see an increase of information spiraling out of control. His term is the end of times. The researchers say it's singularity, but it's the same event. It's a huge mega sign that we're living in the last days. And folks, as always, that's why Jesus said, when this happens, what do? Freak out and run to the hills, right? Because apparently Alexa's going to murder you tonight, okay? In fact, you know what's funny? I was talking about Alexa in a previous study before. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, and I got an email from some person said that while I was, they were watching online, and while I said Alexa, their Alexa went off in their house. Hi, Alexa. Please don't murder us and stop screaming and freaking us out. Well, what's Jesus say? You don't need to freak out, right? Why? Because I believe all this technology, we're seeing signs of it, but it's going to culminate in its horrificness in the seven-year tribulation. But Christians, we leave prior. As Paul said in our opening text, don't let anybody deceive you. We're not going to be here. So we don't need to freak out and be afraid. We need to be aware. Don't put your head in the sand. Okay, but this is a reminder, praise God, Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. But let's not leave here empty-handed, so to speak. Let's get the gospel out. Don't get distracted. Don't get fearful. It's a time to be faithful, amen? That's the whole reason for us. That's why he reminds us with these signs, okay? But if you're watching online or if you're here today, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. How many different ways, how many different signs is God going to give you before you receive his love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ? Because that's the only way to escape the nightmare coming to this planet. Don't be left behind. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.